Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I screwed up.
What's wrong?
I went away, and then I didn't tell Kimmy where I was going, and she didn't know where I was. You know, this wasn't all that weird 30 years ago.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes you wanted to go where everybody knows your name.
Oh, yeah.
And they were always glad you came.
Mm-hmm.
But this bar scene, it's different now.
Yeah.
Especially at a place like this, and I got to be honest, as Kimmy likes to say, I got the ick when someone we know knew a lot about someone maybe he shouldn't. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. If you can hear us right now, I want you to think of all the bartenders you know by name and how you know them.
Mm-hmm.
Because last weekend,
yeah,
I took my wife out for dinner, a place here in Rochester,
mm-hmm.
and we got there early and we decided to have a drink at the bar. So one of our coworkers, who shall remain nameless,
yeah,
was asking me about it.
Oh.
And apparently he had been in this place a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimmy, he asked me what bartender we had when we sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I didn't know. I didn't catch her name. I don't know. And I go, she's a woman in her late 20s, right?
Trying to describe her.
Yeah. And I go, it would be kind of creepy for me to like strike up a conversation with this woman. And he goes, oh, no, that's, and he says her name.
Yeah.
Now, this guy is around my age.
Uh-huh.
And he told me he had only been to this restaurant a time or two.
Oh, he's not a regular.
No. So when I asked him, I go, well, how do you know her name?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, well, she used to work at, and he names this other place.
Okay.
And now she works there.
Now we're going down a weird road.
Now she works there, and now I go out there to get a drink every once in a while. And he must have seen the look on my face.
Because
he got super defensive. And like the whole conversation creeped me out.
Yeah.
That he knows the name of this female bartender. And that he says he goes out there every once in a while to have a drink while she's working.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to be creeped out by that?
You're right to be creeped out, but I was the same guy. You know that.
Yeah, but
like I knew bartenders by name around town, and I kind of knew their schedules.
Well, and I knew
you know, their boyfriends or girlfriends.
Look at him try to not sound like a creep. I also knew their boyfriend, so I wasn't paranoid.
No, I'm saying I went deep on these people. I had another buddy that he invited them over for Easter.
Okay, well.
And it was my bartender, too.
But if you're
like a regular drinker, you do get pretty personal with these people.
I don't even think you have to be a regular drinker. I don't think it's weird to know a bartender's name, know a little bit about a bartender if it's a place you've been to before.
Okay.
But if they move to another joint?
What's a little weird is you're now going out of your way to see that bartender, which if you're going to a place that you don't normally go to.
I follow them.
Okay.
I did.
Yep. That's where you know, get into the weird territory.
Yeah, I realize that.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. In your defense.
There was a time.
Thank you. Where talking to the bartender was a standard thing to do.
Yeah.
Corner bar, dive bar, whatever you frequented, there was a culture to it. And you were spending happy hour there maybe a few times a week. There was a social scene. But it feels like that has gone away.
The bar scene like that? Probably, yeah.
Are you a weirdo, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, for knowing the bartender's names?
I mean, at your neighborhood bar?
How many people?
Yeah, but there isn't really, to Pat's point.
I mean, I guess I live in a place where that happens all. I mean, there's a couple places around the corner, and I even think like there are some bartenders that will work at multiple bars that you see all the time.
That I understand. Like that.
So I don't think it's that weird if it's a place you visit a lot to get to know the bartenders.
Okay.
I think you should, so you're not like, you know, it's kind of cold if you're actively going out of your way to not know anything about these people.
I think that's fair. And I think there's also another caveat we have to throw in there.
What's that?
If you knew the bartender before they became the bartender, that doesn't count.
Okay.
Like, you know, you were friends with this person, they got a job at the bar, and now you're going to, like, support them.
Okay.
That's fine.
You want a really sad story?
Yes.
Okay. So I used to drink out in Webster at a place called Hedges, old school joint.
Okay.
Great bartenders. So the one kid, he's telling me, you know, my last week, families were moving to Florida.
Oh.
So, hey, congratulations. Where are you going? He tells me this place down in West Palm Beach.
No.
I go,
Oh my God.
Damn, man.
No.
I know that joint. Next time I'm down there, I'll stop in. Yeah. So I go, about 4 months later, I'm down there and I
four
pop
months?
In.
You didn't give it a year.
Well, I was going down to see family. I said, I got to stop in and see the kids, throw them a few dollars. So I popped in, had a couple of drinks, said hello, caught up a little bit.
I do have a follow-up question.
Yes, Kimmy in the back.
Did you go down there because you wanted to pop in and say hi, or did you go down there because you thought he would give you free stuff?
Oh, I never would take a free drink from somebody. That would be unethical and against broadcasting rules. But, you know, if he wants to cut me a deal, you know, hey, I did fly down here to see family. But, you know, I also just wanted to say hello. Maybe you want to see a friendly face.
That might be the saddest story I've ever heard. You flew to a bar.
I didn't fly. I did see. Well, I have family in Florida.
But how far out of your way did you have to go? Like, how far away was
the
this
bar? The traffic was brutal on a Saturday night. So I'm going to say probably about 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And I didn't stay long. I only stayed for three drinks.
Okay, but bro, you had family you were visiting that you sacrificed time with to go hang out with a bartender that you knew.
Bro, I fake visited Florida.
Okay.
I used it for a springboard for alcoholism and a little dabbling in prostitution. But that's a different story.
You know, there's something else I think that is creeping me out about this. Again, I went out to dinner with my wife last weekend, took her to this place, never been there before.
Yeah.
Somebody who works here, a man who will remain nameless, around my age, goes, what bartender did you have? I go, I don't know. She's in her late 20s. And he goes, oh, and he says her name. And I go, oh, you go there a lot? He goes, no, I've been there a couple times. I know her because she was a bartender at another bar, and I go out there now to have a drink while she's there.
Yeah,
and he didn't even play it off like they were like friends.
Yeah.
I feel like gender plays a part in this too. Like, it wouldn't have been as creepy if it was a dude we were talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like,
come off as a little bit
stalkery?
Yeah, stalkerish.
Like, to get someone's name, especially in that setting, and remember it, takes a lot of interaction. So either this guy we work with must have been talking a ton to this bartender, or he went out of his way to remember her name, which is also creepy.
Yeah, I mean, he got a little thing for her, you know.
Well,
I think bartenders also do a good job too. If you are somebody that they've seen multiple times, of making it a more personal interaction, because like they want to know, they memorize your name, so that way they
know your drink.
You feel like you're at home when you're there. So like there is, I mean, I think there is a give and take to it.
He also went out of his way.
Yeah,
he was like breaking down what made her a good bartender.
I used to do this with you all the time.
No, I know, and it was creepy. But, like, it means he was watching her work.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was always impressed with bartenders that, you know, really, like, knew people's drinks.
Sure.
They knew wine. They knew stuff like that about
but
people.
But that was a creepy noise you just made. They knew wine. You do it.
Yeah, that guy used to come up with me, too. but, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a creepy culture. Like, drinking, if you're a drinker, you're kind of a creep.
No, I drank.
Why would you label yourself? I mean, you're...
Well, he's not wrong about himself.
No, but I'm saying, but why would you give that that label to everybody that's at a bar drinking?
If you're a regular and you're out about like that, it's a different lifestyle. It's not normal. You know what I mean?
But it
to
was.
Be out that much drinking. I mean, I was a single guy, but I knew couples that were just like heavy drinkers, that they went out as a couple that would just hit these bars together. And they were the same people. You know, they knew like everything about these people.
What about people that like on their way home, they'll stop and have a beer or two or grab dinner and a
that's
beer?
That's a little different because I just
but
went
that's
out.
A, that
I
you
just,
could easily develop a relationship with a bartender or server if you're there, you know, every other day.
But Pat knows I would go to these bars by myself and drink. And then I would bounce around the night. And
by the way, that sounds like an Edgar Winter song. Bouncing around the night.
Yeah, but I mean, I was,
a drunk is what you are. You were drunk.
I was a maintenance drinker.
All right, we got phone calls coming in. Folks writing us on Instagram. Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. Caleb writes us.
Yeah, it was Caleb saying.
Once I've been to a bar a couple times, especially if I've had multiple interactions with the same bartenders, if there's an opportunity, I like to ask their name. It makes you more personable, creates a more mutual appreciation between bartender and customer, which is a long way to say Caleb is super creepy.
Yeah. Well, don't you think it's rude, though, if you don't
know their
name?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes. Fine.
Especially if they come to you and they're like, oh, Pat, good to see you again. And you have nothing to say back because you don't know what their name is.
There he is. He knows the score.
But even like when I used to go down to Florida all the time to see my family, I would have places down there that I would hit all the time because I would go down a couple times
a year.
You're
a two-state drunk.
Yeah, I like that.
On a dime store budget.
Yeah. But yeah, I knew like those people. And I would always get disappointed because, you know, Florida, the turnover is so high.
Sure, sure.
Like when that person wasn't there anymore and I developed that rapport with them.
Or when they filed that restraining order so you couldn't go in there anymore.
That too.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Teddy. Hey, Teddy, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Tommy, I think you went to Florida to see that person, the bartender. I think he's your therapist.
Probably, yeah.
Right, because anything that you have complained at home, you tell to that person at the bar.
My favorite part about Teddy's calls is the childlike joy in his voice you can hear when he's about to slam Tommy.
Yes.
It's my favorite Teddy thing.
I used to go to the bar and go, hey, there's this guy Teddy, he's bugging me.
I remember when you live in Webster, you had always hanging out over there a lot, but since you moved there, you didn't go over there that much, because I know exactly who you are, Tommy.
I know exactly
how am I doing so far, Tommy?
This is actually sounding creepier than the guy we were talking about to begin with, Teddy. Teddy, great to talk to you, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Michael writes us on Instagram, Duffy NWCMF, the easiest way to get us. He says, Duffy, we have customers come in and bring the bartenders gifts all the time.
So my parents did that. My mother would bake cakes and bring them into bars that they hung out in.
Well, it's kind of adorable.
Yeah. Not if it's your mother.
Yeah.
Can you ask out a bartender?
That's a...
Because it kind of feels
you
like...
You shouldn't.
Well, here's the thing. If you do and you get shut down, don't go back.
This guy we're talking about does not have that self-awareness.
Okay.
Look, yeah, you shouldn't. Because let's say you start dating that person and it tanks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have to accept that that bar may be ruined for
you. Yeah, then you've ruined the rapport.
All right, can I time out real quick?
Yeah.
Your concern in starting a relationship with someone new, your biggest concern is that you would lose the place you like to drink.
Yes.
It's a fair concern if that's your spot.
There's plenty of tail out there you can be hitting, man. You know?
You're drooling when you say that. You are not doing well this morning.
I'm just saying.
I'm not creepy. Plenty of tail.
I got two states I'm working right now.
Even if things go well, now you're like the creepy boyfriend that just hangs around. Like,
you don't want to be that guy either.
You don't
want to
look like you're like keeping an eye on her all the
but
time.
But a second ago, you just said you knew the bartenders and their boyfriends.
I did.
They were hanging around the bar.
They did. But that's their creep, not mine.
Pick a side.
You know what I mean? You can be creepy over there. It's fine.
That also sounds like a therapy book you're working on. Tommy Boulay, your creep, not mine. Available at Borders. I mean, look, women who work behind a bar must deal with this.
Oh, my God. It's got to be misery.
Guys thinking that they're into them.
Right? They're oogling them.
When they're just being polite.
But that's just it. I mean, you know, and I get that sometimes it goes a step past polite. Like, when you're working for tips, you do want these people to think you're engaged.
Well, you got
to
turn on the charm.
Okay, exactly. But... I mean, guys are really, really bad.
Yes, they are.
At being able to determine what is someone being nice, a woman especially, and what is someone...
Right.
Emily writes, this person that we're talking about who was like names in the bartender, did this person used to work in the industry? Sounds like normal behavior from a former bartender. Mm. No. No, they did not.
Not at all. And I never worked in the industry.
No. Well, I mean, you could have. Didn't you collect a paycheck for 3 years? That's how much you were there?
Yeah, probably.
Wait, he doesn't work here? Don't tell me to stop drinking the product. Oh, he's paying for that. Okay, never. Wait, no, he's not paying for that? Facebook messages. You can always get us at the break room or the WCMF Facebook page. Brian writes us, Duffy, you're an idiot.
End of sentence.
I invited two different bartenders I know to my wedding.
Oh.
And I just met them hanging out at the bar. You can make your closest friends when they're working serving you drinks. You don't get it because no one wants to talk to you. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Did you have to tip the wedding guest that you invited from the bar? You loser.
I could see if you're like around the same age. Like, let's say you see that person out and about in other ways, like not just as a bartender.
Okay.
And you develop a friendship over time. I don't think it would be all that weird.
Okay, so I'm going to paint a scenario for you.
All right, go ahead.
Because, Kimmy, you're coming to the end of your friends getting married and going to weddings and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
You're old
yeah.
now. But let's say the next wedding you go to, you're sitting at a table, right? And you go, oh, how do you know the groom? And you go, oh, we met when I was his bartender.
He used to come in the bar.
Yeah, and you go, oh, your friends now. You go, well, yeah, he comes in the bar all the time. There wouldn't be a moment of judgment.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like so many people like growing up with so many people who are friends of the bartender that like it's not like an out of it's not out of the question that you would have known that person or somebody that they know throughout time. So there's a connection there. It's not like a total separation between customer and bartender.
You two sound like a couple of drunks.
I'm ready for a drink right now. I am thinking so romantically about when I used to go out and drink at night.
I could just think of examples where people became friends with bartenders and then they kind of became part of that friend group. So
you got excited about seeing these people like on a Friday night. I go, I'm going to go see so-and-so and have a couple of drinks. It was fun.
No, it's good for you, man.
It was fun. And you felt special if you walked in and they already knew your drink and they were pouring it for you.
Doesn't make you feel pretty cool.
What? Yeah, no, I mean, look at him. He looks pretty cool.
And then I had a 50-year-old kid with me with flappy jeans.
Well, he thought you were cool at the time.
No, I didn't. I was pumping him for free drinks. I was like a Vegas prostitute, but 15 in flappy jeans. Let's take a break.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Like, no exaggeration, this might be the greatest idea we've seen in like a decade.
So what do you got?
Well, look, everybody's running around all ragged all the time.
Yeah, right? Everybody's dragging.
Exhausted. Nobody gets enough sleep.
I need some pep.
Well, but it's not pep you're getting. In this situation.
Oh.
Because there are times where you'll be out and you'll have moments. You just don't have anywhere to go.
Like I'm going to nod off?
Yeah. Well, this gives you somewhere to go.
Where am I nodding?
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. The Miami airport announced yesterday.
Yeah, what are they doing?
They are going to start offering nap rooms.
It's like little sleep pods?
So they're not pods. You may have seen the pods before, but those things are few and far between.
How does this work?
So this is like an actual area being built. And the best I can describe it, it looks like a spa where, you know, low lighting, okay, very quiet.
But it's open.
So it's its own separate area of the airport?
It's not open. So like you go into like a little room, okay, and they take you back and there are individual, I guess you would call them.
Like stalls?
Yeah, but they're bigger than that.
All right.
And inside is a bed and a touchscreen with an alarm and stuff like that. And it's
pretty smart.
For $30 to $60 an hour, depending on time.
Man, you gotta really want to take a nap for $60.
And the size of the room and amenities, will be able to use their nap room.
All right.
So apparently, these nap rooms already exist in some foreign airports. It looks like this will be the first nap room in America at the Miami airport. And this is the greatest idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't exist before, honestly.
How?
I mean, with all, like, flying is so up in the air. Like, you never really know if things are going to go smoothly or not. I'm guessing, like, if it does, you feel lucky. So if you get somewhere and you miss a flight or you find out your next flight is delayed for hours, I mean, I'm absolutely paying the $30 to $60 to go take a nap.
I mean,
I got stuff. I got stuck at JFK overnight.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome because I slept in a chair.
It would have been unbelievably expensive overnight.
But at least catch an hour.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not spending 4 hours in there to sleep. But
$240.
Yes.
I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. As much as I love this at the Miami airport, and I think it should be in every airport, I think having it at the airport is not enough. I think if you had something everywhere in America where I had the ability to pay to take a nap, these would be the most successful businesses in the country, hands down.
Well, they would definitely work on the throughway.
Oh, that's a good call. Right in that rest area.
Yeah, anywhere where you're traveling or passing through.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, like, you wouldn't need it. Like, what other business would you need something like that at where you couldn't just go home?
I'll give you another example. The mall. You know how many days?
Why not just go home?
Well, here's why. Because, like, for example, back to school shopping is happening.
Yeah. Okay.
When I'm at the mall, it's because I'm with my family.
Yeah.
And I go to the mall, and I have, like, my two stores that take me 15 minutes to go see, and I'm going to be there for 2 hours.
All right.
So if I had the ability to take a nap.
At a dad pod.
Bro.
Dad pods.
Tell me dad pods wouldn't be full of old men catching naps at the mall.
Yeah, but there would be guys struggling with the fact that you're paying extra to do it.
Say that again?
You're paying extra to use these pods or these rooms, and I wonder how you'd be fighting in your head, is it worth the $30 to $60 to do it, or should I just suck it up and sit on this bench?
I think men would pay for nap.
Here's the problem with this whole pod situation.
What's that, Tommy?
With your dad pods and your old man pods. Is some guys just can't fall asleep right away. So they may want to enjoy a little pleasure in before they do a napping. What do you do about that, dude?
No cranking in the pod, bro. No cranking in the nap room.
But how do you stop it?
How would you enforce that, though?
And then the next guy comes in. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Well, they'd have to clean them after every
There's
use.
A job.
Cleaning the nap pod?
Yeah. Batch Patrol. Tonight on CBS, Batch Patrol, Chicago.
Featuring Sergeant Edie Mulet. No, okay, fine. Yeah.
Guys are going to rub out in there, man.
Okay. How would you prevent guys from rubbing out in the nap room
you
or the nap pod?
Put a picture of your mom in there.
Okay. I mean, you weren't the only one with this thought. Baron Von Butt writes us on Instagram, Duffy and WCMF. Going to be more than nodding going on in that room. Nodding and a nobbing. Nobbing and a nodding.
Why don't they be nobbing? Well, I guess what if couples go
you
in?
You can't allow two people in there because they're absolutely going to
bang. You
got to
have it one person. Unless you didn't close it off completely. Like it was kind of
that.
Almost like a how they have it work with the
cubicle.
The cubicle.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Know?
That wouldn't stop some people.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You're probably right about that.
Now you're in trouble for multiple reasons.
Damn it, man.
Can't have anything nice anymore, but have some guy rubbing one out on it. It's America for you, man.
That's how we lost two Van Goghs. 252 WCMF, the Miami Airport is now offering nap rooms for $30 to $60 an hour. Think of it as like a spa. Like you walk into this area, quiet, low light. You go in, there's a bed, there's a touchscreen, and depending on the amenities and the hour of the day, $30 to $60 an hour. And it sounds like a brilliant idea having these at the throughway rest stop. You brought that up, the mall. Think of if you are a parent whose kid plays travel sports, basketball, hockey, baseball fields. If any of if a nap pod existed in any of these places,
or those arenas,
they would clean.
Like at the Iceplex.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you'd have to pay for a nap pod per person.
Yeah, I don't care. My wife can figure it out. I'm taking a nap. And by most
your kid.
Well, no, my
let
kid.
Let your kid run around?
My kid wants to go run around and go see your friends. Yeah. Fine. Like, you know, there are days where we'll get stuck. We'll go to a rink in another city, and they got a game at 11 and a game at 4. And what am I doing the whole time? Oh, yeah, nap pod. You don't want to know what I would spend.
Yeah.
In all seriousness. Like, if they were like $100, I would think about it.
Buck an hour?
But there would have to be a way for like a 15. If you could figure out a $15 to $25 an hour public nap pod, you would become the richest person on the planet, hands down.
Sure.
And even putting them in places like workplaces. Instead of having lunch, a 45-minute nap.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
I mean, think there are some workplaces that have the pods, right?
Well, how do you have that when everyone's cranking one out inside? I would think that the work nap pods.
Yeah.
Would be the ones that get cranked out in the most.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because every guy's cranked at work at least once. I hope.
So Jason writes us.
Yeah.
He says, there are a lot of hotels that rent rooms by the hour. I don't want to sleep in those.
Yeah, those are like hooker hotels.
Yeah.
The pink cloud don't count.
Have you ever slept at an hourly motel?
Oh, yeah.
Slept in?
No. I mean,
used.
I didn't go without a prostitute. No. Because there used to be a ton of them in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow, shock face.
Shock face was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I can't imagine you would go to a
Actually using it for what it's
meant
for.
Yeah, that says hourly rates and checking in for the night. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, but first of all, they were super expensive.
Yeah. Wait, really? It was more expensive by the hour?
Oh, yeah. Because you were just using it as cover. You know what I mean? They knew what they were doing.
Sure. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, every room had a hot tub in it.
Well, that seems like good value.
Great, right? You roll over and drown.
Quick sidebar. there is a hotel around the corner from my house that advertises jacuzzi rooms.
Yeah.
But it's not like a nice hotel.
Yeah.
It's not a poor hotel.
No,
bad
but it's
hotel.
Like a middle of the road.
Yeah. Does anybody use those?
I didn't know people actually took baths in hotels.
No, it's not a bath. It's a hot tub. It's like an actual hot tub.
But it looks like a giant bathtub, right?
Kind of.
I think it's separate from the shower.
I'm just saying, in general,
I didn't think a lot of people like used that part of the hotel room.
It was kind of the lure of like bringing a chick back and, hot tubbing.
No, but you brought up, I think you were going to say, a lot of the times these hot tubs would be like in the middle of the room.
Yeah, they were like legit hot tubs.
Yeah.
Not like a bathtub.
Like Niagara Falls still has hotels where you can get a hot tub in the middle of the room with like a view of the falls.
I think the Catskills used to have it, and so did the Poconos.
Sure. Because
the Poconos used to be like a big honeymoon spot. They had that one that was like a big champagne glass.
Yeah.
You just sit up there with your soaking ass.
But back then, dudes were doing nasty stuff there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, did nobody think of that?
They didn't care.
I think your dad would have cared if he was getting in batch soup.
I don't... I think he realized that when he was at his wedding vows.
Your mom was like a teabag after she got teabagged.